Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show. What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. Today I'm joined with our co-host,
Coach Nick.
Coach Nick. Coach Nick, welcome to the Challenge Weekly Show.
Thank you very much.
How are you doing today?
Very, very good. I'm on fire just like everyone else is for prep week.
Yes, it's prep week. Prep week has begun and we are recording this on the Tuesday of prep week.
We are.
If you're brand new to the challenge or brand new to the podcast, we record a Challenge Weekly Show just like today, every Tuesday to be published. And, you know, we're going to be chatting about different things related to the challenge. We're offering our tips and answering any questions and all the little bits and pieces in between.
Right. Yes, our chance to chat and see what's going on and talk to all of you.
Yeah, so, you know, like thinking about the challenge, of course, you know, you signed up to the challenge, you get a training plan, a nutrition plan, but, you know, there's so much more to the challenge than just a training plan, nutrition plan. And, you know, realistically, you could find a training plan by just Googling a training plan, right? Or you could find a nutrition plan by Googling just a nutrition plan. So, you know, that's one aspect of the challenge is a new training plan, a new nutrition plan. But there's also lots of other things within the challenge, right? So we've got our forum and our communities. They're probably another massive side of things. And, you know, engaging the community is a big, powerful part of being in the challenge. It's about posting online, being accountable, and being in the right mindset to be able to do the challenge.
Right? That's right. And asking any questions you need to ask and just engaging with everyone and encouraging everybody.
Yeah. The other side of things is all about, like, education. Right, you know, we ultimately want you to learn how to maintain your body transformation, and I would hate for you to get to week 12 and start asking, "Oh, what am I going to do now?" Because we hope by the end of week 12, you've kind of gone through this short 12-week, 13-week little education course on training, nutrition, mindset, health, everything in between, so that you have all the skills, so that you can, you know, feel confident in your body transformation. You feel confident in training. You feel confident in nutrition, so that you can maintain the results that you've worked hard for.
Definitely. We want you to have that understanding.
So, yes, you know, there's a lot more to the challenge. And one thing, you found it, is the Challenge Podcast. So in the Challenge Podcast, Coach Nick and I are doing our Challenge Weekly Show. And we've also got a Meet the Challenger series where we interview previous top 10 finalists. That includes our top 3 finalists, and both for Max and Maxine. And we talk about their stories, right? Which is really cool because you get to listen to another person who's been through the challenge. You can listen to some of their challenges that they faced. And you may find that that person isn't much different from you. You know, we face the similar challenges and the similar barriers to completing the challenge.
That's right. And it might inspire you. You might see that everybody started somewhere, and it's quite a good way to just really bring it all back down to earth for you.
Yeah, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all people, right?
Exactly.
People. You're a person, I'm a person. I hope you're a person.
I'm a robot person.
You're a person. I'm more like those lizard people.
Yeah, you are a lizard person.
I'm a lizard person, yes.
Spreadsheet lizard person.
Spreadsheet lizard person that reads too many research papers. Yes. All right. So, look, we're going to start our challenge weekly show with a challenge update. Right. So like we mentioned, it's prep week. So prep week's always an exciting time in the challenge because, you know, we're all starting something new. You know, we're in this like honeymoon phase where everything's new and exciting, where we have this high energy and it's all right, let's do all the things. And that, of course, can come with some stresses, anxieties, some fears, some feelings of being overwhelmed. Right. But, you know, we kind of need to like bottle all these emotions and think about, okay, well, what's going to happen further down in the challenge, right? When we get to week 7, week 8, week 9, that's kind of like this lull period where everyone's just kind of grinding through it. Right? At the start, everyone's excited, and then at that phase, later on down the challenge, it's that grind. So think about packaging up some of this excitement and holding onto it for a little bit later when we get to that week 7, week 8, week 9. Right?
Exactly. That's a little bit of a dip in excitement. So yeah, bottle some up and have it later as well, definitely.
But look, there's lots to do in prep week. Right, where you know you have access to the challenge websites. You can log in, you can download your training plan, your nutrition plan, and you can start reading some of the articles that we've created, some of the videos that we've created, some of the content that's on the website, and taking time to look at all the resources available to you, because there's information, you know, there's training guides, there's nutrition guides on top of your training plans, and the training plans, they're quite in depth, right?
They are.
They've got lots of little bits and pieces to it, lots of tools for you to use. And look, I don't expect you to open up the spreadsheet that we created and be able to understand it back to front. It might take a bit of time to understand every little aspect of it, but just take one page at a time and think about adding small tools along the way. And I guarantee by the end of it, you'll be loving this thing and using it as a tool to keep going back towards so that you have a good control over your challenge experience.
Definitely.
Now, the things that's going on in the challenge is that it's time to take our start photos.
Yes. Right?
It's time to take our start of the challenge photos. And you have a really long time to upload that photo. So you have up until week 4, right? Of course, the earlier you do it, the better, because then you have more days in between the two transformation images.
That's right.
But look, it's a great time to think about your photo, right? Where we often have challengers upload photos and we look at the background of the photo, for example. And it's in a messy bedroom, or you're in a bathroom and the bathroom's messy, or like the photo's blurry or squished or something like that.
We can't see you properly, or the document isn't facing the right way that you need to be holding. So there are things, considerations.
Yeah, and you'd hate to be getting close to the end of the challenge, week 9, week 10, week 11, and seeing these amazing results come through. And then you look at your start photo and it's blurry, it's off angle, and it's really poor to compare your start and your end position, right?
Yeah, so it's pretty important to have it there, pretty easy to compare. We need that for the judges later on.
Yeah. So thinking about that starting photo. Now, in your nutrition template, there's space for you to upload a photo every week, right? So that photo every week is purely for your own safekeeping. So no one gets to see that photo in your template. And that could be a nice way to compare week to week and if you start noticing any changes. However, within the challenge, if you're choosing to go public, if you're choosing to go public, there will be a starter challenge photo, a week 4 check-in photo, week 8 check-in photo, then the final photo, right? You can also choose to go privately. So if you choose to go as a private challenger, you don't need to upload any information.
No.
And you simply just almost sit on the fence and be part of the challenge. You can post on the forums, those types of things, but no one sees your photos, who you are, any stats or anything like that. However, if you do go privately, you're not eligible for our competition because we need to be able to see your photos to compare.
That's right.
Right? Other news in challenge world is we just released our Facebook group daily themes.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Yeah. So, yes. We've had similar daily themes in the past, but nothing really official.
No. Right? So we're making it official.
So once upon a time, we used to have our weekly challenges, and they were kind of fun sometimes, where we would do, push-up challenges or single leg balance work and other little bits and pieces. And Nick and I would be choosing a winner out of the hat every week for someone who uploaded a video or a post for themselves. Now we're expanding that weekly challenge into 7 themes.
Yeah.
Right? Ooh, okay. So each theme of every day, if you post on that theme for the day, you will get an extra entrant into the challenge weekly prize draw.
Okay. Yes.
So today, Tuesday, is Technique Tuesday.
Technique Tuesday.
So for Technique Tuesday, you can post a video of yourself training or doing an exercise such as squat, bench press, a deadlift, overhead press, bicep curl, whatever exercise you're doing. You can post that video to our Facebook group and I will offer you my feedback, right? Of course, we've got to be careful of some of the form police that we have, and I'm going to advise those people maybe not to be too aggressive with some of their comments, as form police people can be.
That's right.
Right?
It's in a nice way, constructive and pleasant.
So if you post a video of yourself on Technique Tuesday using the hashtag Technique Tuesday, you get one entrant into our challenge weekly draw. And then on Monday, so the Monday live video that Coach Nick and I are doing on our Facebook group, we'll be picking a winner out of the hat, right?
Yes.
So on Tuesday, we've got Technique Tuesday. On Wednesday, we have What's on Your Plate Wednesday, where you can post a photo or a video, a photo of what's on your plate, so what meals you're having, right?
Yeah.
And that can give you another entrant into the challenge weekly draw. On Thursday, we've got Throwback Thursday, so you can post a photo or a video of something related to Throwback Thursday. So that could be maybe you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe how you couldn't walk up a set of stairs, but now you can, or maybe how you couldn't lift a certain deadlift number, but now you can. So throwback Thursday.
We love seeing those. Everybody loves Throwback Thursday. So get creative with that.
On Fridays, we have our favorite Flex Fridays. Now, many of us are doing Flex Friday anyway, but now you can do Flex Friday and get a free entrant into the Challenge Weekly Draw.
That's right. So that's a good chance to impress everyone with your progress as well. Show us your guns.
So show us your guns. So for Flex Friday, you can post a photo or a video, but mostly a photo of you showing us your best flex. That could be bicep, tricep, quads, abs, whatever it is. I'm going to use the hashtag Flex Friday. Then on Saturday, we have Self-Care Saturday. So look, we Nick and I were both really big on looking after yourself because no matter how hard you train, you've got to recover harder, right?
Yeah, recovery is where it's at. You don't actually build the muscle while you're training. You build it in recovery.
So on Saturday, show us how you are looking after yourself. So that could be maybe you doing some stretches, you're going for a walk, maybe you're listening to a podcast like this, or maybe you're just hanging out with your kids at a park or going to see a movie or something.
Reading a book. Having a sauna if you're lucky enough to have a sauna.
Saunas. So on Saturday, use that hashtag self-care Saturdays. Mm-hmm. On Sundays, Nick, what are we doing?
We're doing a meal prep Sunday. So that's fantastic because you'll get to show us all of your lovely containers that you might use to prep your meals for the week. And that really inspires everybody and might inspire you if you are getting ready on a Sunday to actually make sure that you're nice and organized for the week. So take a photo of all of your meals and you can upload that and then with the hashtag meal prep Sunday, and that's your chance to also enter.
And then finally, we have it on Monday, which is Motivation Mondays.
Yes. Right? So we love Motivation Mondays, don't we?
Motivation Mondays, because for many of us, Mondays suck, right? Mm-hmm. So on Mondays, post a photo, maybe a video, maybe a write-up of something motivational to help motivate everyone to continue on with the challenge. Then use that hashtag Motivation Mondays. And then on Monday at 7 p.m., that's Australian Eastern Standard Time or Daylight Savings Time when it goes Daylight Savings, but basically Melbourne time. So 7 p.m. Melbourne time on Mondays, Coach Nick and I will be hosting our live question and answer. So on Facebook, you can watch a presentation of Nick and I talking about different questions that might come up for the challenge, different topics and different themes.
You can ask us questions live if you want to talk to us in real time.
Yeah, so while we're live for that half an hour, usually between 7 and 7:30, if you post a question, we'll give you an answer.
Absolutely.
So if you've been looking for like a quick way to chat to us or a way for us to explain an answer to you, and some questions are difficult to answer when we're typing them out, and sometimes we need that little bit of a visual medium to explain it.
That's right, because then we can just quickly ask you a question back, you can answer us, and then we get more of an idea of what we need to figure out for you. So it's a really good way to have a sort of a little quick Q&A with us, which is also recorded. So if you can't watch it at the time, you can watch it later.
Yeah. So we've got close to about 100 of them on our Facebook group.
We
now.
Do. You There's can go lots. Back and watch them all.
Yeah, you can slowly watch me age over the past like 2 or 3 years that I've been doing them. So if you want to watch me week by week, you can slowly see me grow a beard and then shave, get a haircut, and then my hair grows out, and then I slowly age a little bit more and more and more.
Oh,
so
that's a project.
Yeah. And if you're really interested, you could actually see me getting better at speaking on a camera.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. See, that's the thing, because it takes time, doesn't it, to learn that skill, and everybody has to start somewhere.
Yeah, so if you go back in time, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, for the very first couple of the live videos, there's lots of ums and ahs and uncertainty, and I might not be as animated as I am now on camera, but with practice, just like with training, you get better, right?
Definitely.
And I'll tell you what, when I first started recording myself with the challenge, or even just before I was on the challenge and recording myself in videos, I used to watch them back over and over again and then try to get better, right? And that's no different to training, right? Because in basically training a muscle, which would be public speaking or on video or whatever it is, and that's no different to training your bench press or your squat. So practice, practice, practice.
That's right. And I think that's part of also just a mindset that is a growth mindset, where you always know that you can get better. So that's also a really nice mindset to take into the challenge, because then you'll always be open-minded to feedback and other people's advice and things like that. And just ways to maybe change things up that you've always, your limiting beliefs, perhaps, let's just say, things that maybe have held you back, you'll be open-minded to it. And see, that's why you've become a better speaker, because you've allowed yourself to believe that you can be better, because you didn't know everything at the start and you're learning. That's yeah. mindset.
And, you know, thinking about today, the theme of the day, which is Technique Tuesday, like that's a tough one to, you know, put yourself out there, be vulnerable, post a video of yourself exercising and asking for feedback.
Absolutely. Right? That is tough. And if you can do that, you know, I take my hat off to you, because I think that that's a really good way to engage in the community, and also just make yourself a little bit vulnerable, and just know that we've got your back, though.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're not breaking your back.
Well, it's all about improvement. It's all about growth. All right. So the next segment we have on our Challenge Weekly show, kind of a new one, where we are going to go through some non-scale victories.
Yeah, they're excellent. They're so good, because there are so many things going on other than just our bodies. It's also about our minds and the way that we interact with the world and the way that we think about things. So there's always something awesome going on. So this week we've got a few, haven't we?
Yeah. So what we're aiming to do every week, we're going to be talking about some, you know, some good news, some wins that might not be related to weight loss, the scales, or the challenge, but talking about some positive things that are happening around the world, around in challenge life and within our communities, right? Yes. So the first non-scale victory ever goes Ooh. To one of our posts on the Facebook group, right? Even I think it was just posted today,
Nick. Yep. Yeah. It was just before, actually. So
just before.
It worked really well.
Yeah. So, you know, we're on the Facebook group quite a bit. We're on Instagram. We're on our forums. We're on our journal posts. You know, we're interacting with that community a lot. And the first non-scale victory goes out to Simone Rista. Simone Rista. So, Nick, do you want to take us through what Simone did on the Facebook group?
Yes, Simone, this is fantastic. So you said you set some goals for yourself. You wrote them down. You wrote your why, you wrote your how, which I think is fantastic, because you've actually written them down just on a little note on your phone and then taken a screenshot. So because you've said it in here, I'm figuring that it would be okay to read some of them out. That'll manifest this for you as well, because now that I'm saying it out loud, I think that that's going to really help. I think all of us are on board with this. So, you know, she's got some challenge goals. So one of them is to lose 5 kilos, to gain knowledge of nutrition, which is fantastic, because that's something that's going to empower her for the future. Mm-hmm. So there are other ones like, yeah, look fit and toned, wear a bikini. Why? To feel in control and be in my best shape. Right now, I feel like I've let myself go. That's what she says. So she's acknowledging things that are going on for her. And then my favorite thing, Steve, she's written how. How's she going to do this? And because she's actually had a think about how, she's really put the plan in motion. Because people say why, they say what, but they don't really think of how.
Mm.
So she's going to create her weekly nutrition plan. She's going to buy her ingredients. It's as simple as writing all this down. Meal prep on Sunday for the week ahead. So that's fantastic, because she'll be able to do her meal prep Sunday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make sure, create a fitness plan and print it. Make sure I know how to do each activity. Leave walking shoes at work and do the 10K steps a day. I mean, habit stacking, 10K steps planning. I can't possibly love this more.
I love it. Love it already.
I know. Like, non-scale victory.
Non-scale victory in prep week. Congratulations, Simone.
A1.
I think, you know, you really highlighted that.
Mm.
We all have, like, ambitious goals. Like, oh, I want to, you know, lose 10 kilos. Mm. I want to bench press 100 kilos. Mm. I want to, you know, run a marathon, right? And we always have, like, that what of a goal. But we often miss that step of how are we going to do that.
How? Right? And because that is written down, if you just think, you know, just say that you are overwhelmed by the challenge and there's so much information and other things like that, which is so normal at this point in prep week. If you just sit down and say, how am I going to do it? And that's your only thing that you do for the day. Look at this, because she's done, leave walking shoes at work. Simple. Bang. That's a champion mindset.
Congratulations.
Mm.
Our next non-scale victory goes out to the very first person to post on the journal for the May challenge.
Okay. So
you have access to a journal on the challenge website. And what you can do is use that for accountability, right? We often find that those who make it in the top 50, top 10 have quite a lot of journal posts, right? Not that it's correlated, not that you have to have lots of journal posts to get into the top 50, top 10 or whatever it is. But we often find that those who are really you know, posting a lot, putting themselves out there, writing things like journal entries, are, you know, reflecting on their journey themselves. Mm. They're you know, posting their wins or posting their failures and putting themselves out there to something bigger than just themselves.
Exactly.
Right? So head on over to the challenge website, head on over to the journal, and you can start journaling, right? And other people can see your journal and they can give you little likes and little emojis along the way. And then at the end of the challenge, you can actually print off or download your journal and you can actually like see the story of yourself, right? And I think not many of us journal, you know, where we can reflect and go, oh, wow, in prep week, yeah, I remember that was really tough. Like I did not like that. Or yeah. In week two, maybe you're like, oh, wow, I'm getting stronger in my squats. I didn't know it would happen this quickly. And then maybe week six, you're like, oh, I just don't have the motivation at the moment to do my 10,000 steps. And you can see that story
go That's through. Right. And right. Also you can start to see patterns in yourself. Like you can sort of start to see if you haven't had much sleep, how do you act?
Mm-hmm.
What gets you down? What makes you feel happy? And then you can kind of replicate the good stuff again and again and again. But if you don't know what it is, if you don't actually make it clear to yourself, then it's very hard to plan how to succeed.
Yeah.
So I think that's why journaling is good.
So the person who posted the first time was Belle Miller. Belle Miller. Well, congratulations, Belle. First post for the May challenge.
Good on you.
And Belle wrote about using the challenge for accountability and to get her mindset in the right place. Where Belle outlined that she was ready for a bikini comp in 2019. So just 2 years ago, she was ready to step on stage for a bikini competition. Mm-hmm. However, you know, life gets in the way. And that's a common story where, you know, priorities change. Maybe we're, you know, moving or we've got family to look after. We've got our jobs in between. All these things where, you know, we might not be accountable to something. We might have that poor mindset where we, you know, don't want to do the things anymore. And that's okay. We understand and we see it all the time. And heck, even I go through it where I just can't be bothered sometimes. And that's okay. It's all about what you're going to do next. And Belle has taken the next step where she goes, yep, all right, I'm going to get back on the wagon. It's time to do this. I'm going to sign up to the challenge. And she's making herself accountable, like what she said, in a journal. So congratulations, Belle.
Brilliant.
10 points to you.
Brilliant. This is great.
Now, our other non-scale victories kind of go out to our new partners with the challenge.
Yeah, right? This is exciting.
This is exciting, right? Because, you know, we do have a number of partners in the challenge. So you can head on over to the challenge website. And you go under resources, go to partners, and you're going to find some of our partners. You can get some sweet discounts and freebies in other partners. But, you know, today I want to talk about three of our newest partners, right? So the first one is our official clothing partner.
Yes.
Right? So our official clothing partner, which is One More Rep. One More Rep. And on Instagram, they're onemorerep.official. And they actually have a little bit of a prize giveaway at the moment. So you can head on over to their Instagram and there's a few little steps you need to do. Just give them a like and you can tag a friend and then share the post into your story. And you could win a free challenge or a refund of your challenge if you are currently a challenger. You'd get $100 worth of supplements from us, so either Max or Maxine, depending on if you're a guy or a girl. And then you'd also get a pair of leggings or shorts from One More Rep, a t-shirt or a sports bra, or and a pair of socks as well. And
gosh, that's great.
They're giving away two of those.
Hmm.
Giving away two of those. So head on over to One More Rep official, and you can your hands on that there. And they've also got a pretty sweet discount as well. So for challenges, I believe it's about 20% off. 20% off all their merchandise. And you can use the code MaxChallenge20 or MaxineChallenge20 and you'll be able to get a sweet discount off of their clothes.
They've got some gorgeous stuff. I've been having a look. So head on over there.
Head on over.
It's really cute.
Our next partner is gymandfitness.com.au. gymandfitness.com.au. And these guys are really cool. They supply gym and fitness equipment. So they've got everything from barbells to squat racks to flooring to resistance band. They've got those TheraGuns and everything in between. And they're giving us 25% off store-wide, which is huge. So if you're about to set up a new gym, you know, 25% off, that's massive.
That's
incredible. Right? And if you think about, okay, you're going to get a squat rack, maybe like $500, $600, a barbell, maybe another $200, $300, plus some weight plates, you know, you're looking at $1,000, right?
Mm.
And then if you're going to get 25% off that, you save $250, right? That's huge. And you can probably get even more equipment, right?
Exactly. That's what you do. You get more equipment.
More equipment, yeah.
Perfect.
So they are also giving away two squat racks.
Ooh.
All right. So they're giving away two squat racks. And these are really cool. They're the ones that you can bolt up onto a wall and they fold away. So for someone like myself who has a really small garage, I could Dynabolt the squat rack into my brick wall garage and then fold the squat rack away and then park my car in a single garage.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. What great use of space.
And then when I go to train, I just reverse my car out of my garage and then open up the squat rack and then I could do my things, right?
That's so good.
So they're giving away two. So one for Max, one for Maxine. They're going to be added to our prize pool at the end of this May challenge, an extra little freebie. Now, they've got a nice and complicated discount code, so you'll be able to find that on the challenge website. You know, it's Max with an X and a 3 and a whole bunch of other numbers.
Right.
I think that was to help limit the spread of this pretty sweet discount that they're giving us. And then finally, we've got a meal delivery company. I have quite a few on our partners page already, and this goes to macros.com.au. So macros.com.au is giving us 10% off. So you can use the code MaxMaxine10. So all one word, MaxMaxine10. You get 10% off any orders from macros.com.au. So this is really cool. You know, we get lots of questions about, you know, can I use pre-made meals? And in most cases, they're totally fine.
Yeah.
Right. Especially now. You know, some of the really sporty and fitness based meals are really cool, and they're not really like your old school like microwave dinners that you might see in the 70s or the 80s. These are meals that are probably fancier than what I cook at home.
Definitely. Me too.
And they've got a pretty good calorie content, usually between that maybe 300 400 500 calories, and a pretty nice high protein intake on that meal. So you know, you can pick up quite a few different types and brands, places, you know, Coles and Woolies, even in the frozen section, and that can make great freezer fillers for those times when, you know, you might be short in time, not sure what to do, you got a meal there, so you don't go out and order pizza or something.
Pizza.
All right, so Nick, we have another new segment which we're going to call Coach's Corner.
Yes, Coach's Corner. That's our new thing, isn't it?
Coach's Corner. So we're going to go through and offer our tips for the week, right? And we're going to start off by talking about some tips for prep week. So, Nick, do you want to kick us off with maybe your one or two top tips coming into prep week?
So my top tip for prep week coming from me, coming from Coach Nick, will be if you are heading back into the gym or if it's your first time in the gym, just make sure that you're not distracted when you are starting off with your weight training. If it's your first time, just make sure that you've really got an understanding of technique and take it slow, because that's where injuries happen. They usually only happen when we're a little bit distracted and we're not really thinking about what we're doing. So slow it down, take a deep breath, and just take your time. There's no rush when you're learning weights. So you just want to really engage with your form, listen to your body, and also, don't overdo it in the first few weeks of training. Just take it easy in terms of your technique. So don't overload yourself, because it's not going to lead to anything pleasant.
I like that. It's good tips. Mm. So if someone was brand new to the gym or brand new to resistance training, because we do have many people who go to the gym frequently and they do like a body pump class, or they just run on the treadmill or something similar. If someone was brand new to resistance training and they wanted to improve their technique, what could that person do?
Well, I mean, I think personally, we obviously have a lot of resources. Every single movement and exercise has a video, pretty much a YouTube video link. So you could familiarize yourself with that, but also you could get somebody from the gym to show you through. So you could enlist the help of a personal trainer from whatever gym you are at, just to show you through and coach you through each technique, just to make sure you're okay. And also, if you have any modifications needed for any pre-existing injuries that you have that we can't see, it's probably better for you to just get that one-off time of a little bit of coaching, just to make sure that everything's okay, and someone to show you through various machines and stuff. Even though it's all written on the machines, sometimes it just makes you feel a little bit more comfortable to have that advice. So I would recommend that you actually go for a session with somebody, with a coach, if it's not your first time in the gym. That also just makes you comfortable with the area and understand that you can use every single machine and there's not going to be a problem. So that's what I would do.
If I was to add on a few things, I'd probably say to just do a light Google search. right? Mm. Where, you know, I explain some exercise a certain way, Nick, you explain the exercise a certain way, but, you know, just a quick Google search of something like a barbell back squat will bring back literally hundreds, if not thousands, of other people explaining the exercise, going through maybe different cues. And, you know, there's a few different ways to say the same thing, right? You know, stand up, straighten your legs, or bring your chest up to the sky, extend your hips, whatever the cue is, it's all kind of means a similar thing. But there might be a certain saying that, or a cue that works really well for you, that helps you really engage that exercise. So I'm going to say to do some light research on the exercise. I think that's invaluable. My probably big tip would be to film yourself
with
exercise. Because often when you film yourself, you kind of see, we all inherently know what it should look like, right? Or you kind of know when something looks awkward. So if you're doing a squat, you film yourself, you watch yourself back and you go, ooh, that just looked awkward. Mm. It felt awkward, looked awkward, surely this isn't right, right? Then later on down the track, you might film yourself again and go, oh, well, it feels a little bit better. It doesn't look as awkward. I know I'm improving. Right. But Nick, I totally agree that hiring a face-to-face personal trainer, especially in this first like maybe week or two, is totally like just invaluable, right? Like that is an investment on yourself, especially if you're brand new to the gym.
Yeah, just for a one or two sessions, just to make sure that you've got all the techniques right. And also they may regress some movements for you. They may suggest that instead of doing a barbell back squat, just for example, that you may start with, say, a goblet squat and just get your technique right, or perhaps to a box. You never know. So it's good to just have the eye. But yeah, that's what I would do. And just, yeah, start conservatively.
Start conservatively.
That's what I reckon.
I like that. Sounds good to me. All right, my tip's a little bit more, going to use some different words. So follow along with me. I'm going to be talking about volume and intensity.
Mm-hmm.
Some people know what these words mean, but let's go through just brief definitions so that we're on the same page. So firstly, when we're talking about volume, we're talking about the total amount of exercise that we're doing. So that could include all of the total exercises we're doing, the total amount of sets we're doing, or the total amount of reps we're doing, right? So the total amount of volume of activity that's happening on your body, right? That's number one. Number two, we're looking at intensity, right? Mm-hmm. So intensity is often referred to as load that we're using, or the how close we get to failure, right? So how much effort you're putting into. So it kind of bleeds over a little bit into the total amount of reps that we do, okay? Now, often within the challenge, over my brief challenge career, there's many challenges that want to do more and more, where they want to increase the volume. Right. Now, remember that volume is only one variable that we can manipulate to make an exercise harder, or make our training program harder.
Yes.
And often when we look at something like the training plan, we use quite conservative volume prescriptions so that you can actually see progression. Because often people are just doing so much exercise, they're just not really doing anything meaningful. They're just making themselves tired.
That's right.
Where, you know, we want you to train, you know, close to 100% effort. If you're doing too much exercise, that 100% effort slowly becomes 90%, 80%, 70%, 60%, 50%. And then you're kind of cruising at this 50% of your total amount of effort for, you know, lots of exercise. You're just making yourself tired. You're not actually training your body anymore, right? Mm. Where we do have many people that would use sayings like, oh, nutrition is everything. And, you know, it's all about the food that you ate. Abs are made in the kitchen. We've all heard that one. But I think if we all get better at training, that's when we see transformations in our body, right? If we all get better at training at a higher intensity, regardless of volume, that's when we see changes in
our body. I agree. Right? I don't think you can match the feeling of a super intense gym session. And notice I didn't say hard.
No.
So intense, and that feeling, you'll know it. It's sort of where you've done something to the body that you know it's going to have to recover from, and it's going to change.
Yeah.
And if you can get that sweet spot, it's not annihilating yourself. That's where you've probably done nothing actually other than make yourself tired. So it's that sweet spot. And once you start to feel that, you probably chase that sweetness. But I'm saying that sweetness, whereas you're saying volume intensity. So that's probably the more scientific way of going. But so the thing is you have to do that happy dance between all of those variables to get that. And you don't want to chuck everything at it at once.
No. Mm. Now, if we are talking a little bit more of that like science side of things, sure. Like for hypertrophy, we eventually need to increase volume. We need to do more things to our body.
That's right. So if you want to grow muscle, you really do need to do that. it's really great to be strong, but that's actually different to growing muscle. So that's something we can talk about another time.
Yeah. Now, it gets a little bit tricky because technically within hypertrophy, we could either increase total volume or total amount of reps or total amount of loads that we're eventually progressively overloading. But the essence is that we're trying to put more volume of work into a muscle to stimulate growth. So yes, that is one side of it. But my coaching tip for this week is just to consider the total amount of volume you are doing now, maybe versus the total volume you used to do. Because there's many people that come into the challenge and they go, well, Steve, I used to do 60 sets of exercise per session, right? So that's 60 sets. That could be maybe 12 exercises and five sets a piece. That's 60 sets. So if you're doing maybe a minute per set, that's 60 minutes of exercise, let alone moving between exercise, all those things. Like you're in the gym for close to 2 hours.
A long time.
That's a long time. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know about you, but if I'm training for more than half an hour, 45 minutes, I'm tired. Like when I get to like the end of my session, like I'm only doing, you know, a couple of kilos. I'm like, I'm tired. I'm done. Like, you know, I've trained myself today. You can't be doing a max effort squat or a max effort bench press, you know, when you're 40 sets into a 60 set workout, right?
No.
No. So for most, for the vast majority of us, we need to get better at training at a higher intensity.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm sure many of you listening now be like, oh, well, Steve, yeah, I train at a high intensity. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm sure you do, but there's a little bit of a difference. It's not about doing a body pump class and just making yourself tired and sweaty. It's about doing a heavy squat and feeling that burning in your quads when you're trying to get, you know, six reps of an 85 or 90% 1RM. Like we need to train hard, right? That's when we see changes in our body. That's when we see growth, right? So if you've been cruising along, if you haven't been feeling your muscles burn or ache or anything like that, if you're just chasing the sweat or trying to expend energy, we're going about it the wrong way. If you get to the end of the challenge and you're not noticing any changes, well, we probably know why as well.
So you've got to nail that. That's very important. And to do that, the only way you can really do it is to really be present with what you're doing. So don't just go through the motions.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting research paper I read once upon a time, and it was about predicting our maximum effort. Okay. So the super summary of this paper was that they had college football players, it was an American paper, and they asked them, how much can you bench press for 10 reps? And, you know, people were like, oh, yeah, you know, 60 kilos, you know, whatever that is in pounds, 135 pounds, or you know, 100 kilos or 220 pounds, whatever it was. And then they're like, all right. So they got down on the bench and they started doing their bench press, right? And as they got close to rep 9, rep 10, the researchers in the lab started to encourage them, like, oh, do more. And they egged them up and get them to push further. And what they found was the majority of people were able to push out at least another 5 reps, some of them up to another 10 reps, right? So which then suggests that so many of us are cruising at this, you know, pace of like, oh, well, yeah, I could bench press, you know, 60 kilos for 10 reps. But then if I was there, or Nick, if you were there with them and you were egging them on, or you had the do or die moment, you know, you could probably do 20 reps when you've been cruising at 10 reps for a while. And this was, you know, from intermediate to advanced college football athletes, right? And they were unable to predict their 10 rep max on a bench press, right? Imagine if you're brand new to the gym and you grab the bar and you put on a little 2.5 kilo on the end, you know, you got 25 kilos on there and you're doing 10. You get up, you don't really feel much of it. You're not really sweaty. Didn't really feel like workout. It's like, okay, well, you can definitely lift more, right? Just something to think about is that most cases we can train at a higher intensity.
That's correct. And also, even just say with the squat, just really make sure that you're getting that depth the best that you can as well, because there's so much that goes on beyond parallel that is really, let's say, I'm not trying to diss body pump, but that doesn't happen in a body pump class. So, you know, you need to, if you've just done body pump, you might feel that you know, you're working that end of the squat, but there's a whole uncharted resource down there, a whole new world
at the bottom of the squat.
Just be wary of that as well. That's just something else that we can talk about another time.
I think you question your life choices at the bottom of a deep squat.
You really do. And you know, with that video thing that you were saying before, you look at it and you always sort of say, could I have gone deeper there as well? And it's not for any reason other than that is actually where the most growth can happen, where you have to power up out of that, the bottom of the squat or the hole, as we call it. So there's just so many fun things to play around with. that don't involve a million sets.
No, no. All right, let's talk about some questions that have come up. Either on the Facebook group or the forum or Instagram, we have lots of people messaging the Max and Maxine Challenge Instagram page asking questions, and they also message us on Facebook through our Max and Maxine Challenge Facebook pages. So we'll just go over a few questions that have come up over the past week, so before prep week, and then into prep week itself.
Okay. All right.
So
yes.
Maybe we'll touch on the first one, which is, you know, lots of questions about nutrition. For families, right? Or people who are, you know, going to do the challenge and their partner might not be doing the challenge, or they're doing the challenge together, right? So maybe I can answer this question.
Yes, right? Yeah.
Where our programs are designed around whole foods, right? Foods that, you know, you're probably eating right now. You know, we're talking about minced beef. We're talking about pasta. We're talking about potatoes, right? These are foods that are common Australian foods that you could buy at supermarkets. And in most cases, everyone could eat foods, right? And unless you've got children who are really picky eaters, most of the times they could eat the exact same foods as you can. And most of the times your kids can probably get involved in meal prep times, or maybe you can influence them to make better food choices. Maybe you've got teenagers who are starting to make poor food choices. Maybe you can start to build that conversation and that relationship with food and foster that good whole food diet That's approach. That's
right. Particularly right. also if you get them involved even in the shopping process. I find that if you take the kids along and they're responsible for purchasing things that are included in the meal, they feel ownership from the start and therefore are more likely to be involved in the entire meal prep process. And once they're involved in the meal prep, they can't turn around and say it's gross because they made it.
They made
and
it.
That's a little trick. That's a hack.
Yeah, I like that.
Because, that works well.
Yeah. Now, when we face problems with challenges who are doing the challenge together, so let's say your partner doing the challenge with you, let's say Max or Maxine, there is a little bit of energy difference between the Max and Maxine plans. Now, in most cases, most of the meals are very similar. So like Monday, week one, dinner is similar across most of our plans, right? Or Wednesday, week five, dinner is similar across the plans. And that's kind of by design. And often it's just the difference of a few different servings of energy. So in a, let's say, a Maxine Turner shape plan, you might have spaghetti bolognese with one serving of protein, two servings of energy, and three servings of vegetables. Whereas in a Max's plan, you might have spaghetti bolognese with one protein, three servings of energy, and three servings of vegetables. So the difference is only one extra serving of energy. And energy, there's hundreds of food items that could be a serving of energy. So that if you were to make, let's say, a spaghetti bolognese for dinner, between the two of you, if you're following the Maxine's tone and shape, might have, you know, a standard portion of spaghetti bolognese. Your partner might have the standard portion of spaghetti bolognese, but then your partner might have some Parmesan cheese over the top of it, or some olive oil drizzled over it, right? Very Italian, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe some garlic bread on the side, right? Where maybe you've got you know, a slice of bread with some garlic or and something similar. So there's lots of different options, but it's just adding that small little change, right?
Yeah.
Now the idea is just to highlight the portion differences. Mostly because guys generally we're bigger than girls, and we might have higher energy requirements.
Yeah, right? Higher caloric needs, and that's just the way it is. Yeah. So, you might find that you were naturally doing that anyway, but not really knowing why or how. Yeah. And now this is just showing you exactly how.
Now another cool thing which you could do is You, Maxine, could be having spaghetti bolognese standard serve, and then your partner, Max's, could be having a standard serving of bolognese, but they've got a free serving of energy floating around. Now, one of the servings of energy is ice cream.
Yes.
Right? So for the guys, if you want to have a meal that is a Maxine meal, which would be one protein, two energy, three vegetables, if you have that third energy, what you could do is have that serving of ice cream as a dessert. So there you go, a diet where you get a dessert where you have a serving of ice cream. How good.
That sounds really good right about then now.
Then you can mix that in with like Anabolic Night or the Maxine's Nighttime Protein to make a really sweet dessert.
Oh, yes.
There you go. So there's lots of options. That's the idea of our plan.
And like that's just one option there that you said. I mean, actually you gave us Parmesan cheese, you gave us olive oil. I mean, it's practically like we're in Italy.
We're basically, I love it. Missing the wine.
I know. Yeah.
All right, look, the next question we get quite a lot is about concurrent training, right? So someone might ask us a question saying something similar to, I want to run a half marathon, or I really like doing Pilates, or I like playing hockey, right? Where they're doing another form of training and they want to do the challenge as well.
Yes.
Right? So Nick, would you like to answer this question? So if someone asked, you know, I want to continue to play netball while doing the challenge, like what can I do? What advice would you give that person?
Well, firstly, I would say I'm glad that you're doing netball because there's a social aspect to that. But I would have to just say what, you know, to sit down and actually write down or figure out what your goals are, what you want to get out of the program. Because if you are doing anything that's going to tax you, such as let's just call it endurance training, anything that's going to just tax your aerobic system, what's going to happen is any gains that you might try and make in the gym are going to be compromised, and that's a fact. So therefore, there are two options. One, you might have to back off that just as you set your goals. If your goals are to build muscle, you might have to rethink your other training, particularly if it's something like a big run or, you know, an endurance event, something like that. Like if it's just one netball match socially, it's a little bit different. So it's case by case. But you might have to rethink it if your goals are to build muscle, if your goals are to complete the challenge in the way that you would probably like to see huge body composition, recomposition changes. I mean, there's that. What you could do as well, though, is if you're thinking of doing weight training to complement what you are doing, so if you're, for example, if you must do your run, then do some exercises that are going to make you stronger in your run and just say, okay, I'm doing this so I can become a better runner. But don't think that you're going to build muscle, because a distance runner, it's heavy to carry muscle. Your body is going to want to get rid of that muscle. It's not going to want to make you super heavy over distance. So it's going to fight you every step of the way. So endurance will win over power, over muscular development. It's just going to, unless you give it the time and I guess the stage time that it deserves. So I would rethink that. And I know people are listening to this going, but I'm training for a half marathon. And that's good. But the thing is, if your goal is to also look a certain way, that's where you might have to rethink that.
And
that's the honest truth. And I've been there. I've been there. So yeah, I've done that for years. I've tried to make endurance training exist with weight training. That was like maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago. You know, I finally came to the conclusion that actually one of them had to give. And that's when I started to actually grow some muscle and change my shape.
Yeah.
And not look like a giraffe.
Yeah.
Now I look like a slightly more ripped giraffe. Because it's not that easy to put on muscle. That's the other thing. No. And let me just say, even though this isn't definitely in line with concurrent training, I just want to say that you do need to also give your muscle growth time, don't you? So implement the process and keep going with it, and just see little changes and be happy with that, because muscle growth takes time. Unless you're new. And if you're new, then enjoy the newbie gains. Yep. But yeah, my suggestion really strongly is to, for the 12 weeks, perhaps not do your massive long runs.
Yeah, I think you really need to decide what your goal is, right? Where I completely understand where some people enjoy running for the mental side of things.
Yeah.
Some people love going to body pump or RPM or do Pilates or yoga, whatever it is, because they really enjoy it. And if you really enjoy it, okay, well, we need to make space for it.
That's right. And if it's a social thing, if you run with a friend, if you do this, then of course, don't give up everything.
Yeah. But you might need to make that choice and go, okay, well, I'm going to go run a 10K on the weekend because I like doing that, but then I'm going to try to train afterwards. And I guarantee if you're going to go run a 10K and then try to do a heavy squat, well, you're just continuing to make yourself tired. Well,
that's it.
Every bit of exercise that we do, we have to recover from. And if you're trying to get the best out of your training program, resistance training, but then you're also spending, you know, 6 hours a week playing other sports and other bits and pieces, well, you're just adding more fatigue to your body that you ultimately have to recover from, which could just impact your overall intensity, right?
I really believe that. I mean, it's not just, I mean, it's a fact. So it's not even just believing, but I've lived it, breathed it, but also I see people that constantly tell me, in real life, in the challenge, everything where they say, I'm going to keep doing this and I will kind of buck the system. And it's simply, I've never seen it. I've never seen it work for anybody. So think of it as, if you can, think of it as a refresh and try something different.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to get your 10,000 steps in. If you were going to do a run, do it once a week and probably not around any kind of heavy training.
Yeah. Well, like, think of it as, let's use a sport as an example, like AFL, right? Think of your AFL team that you follow, or if you don't follow AFL, Australian Football League, think about the players that are playing right now, right? You know, they're getting towards the end of their season. When they built up to their season, they would have gone through like a preseason where they're focusing on building their strength so that they can tackle people. They're building their speed, their endurance, all these things. But then as they get deeper into the competition where games become, well, I mean, when they start the competition, games are really important. They can't be tired from a run and then try to play a game where they, you know, need to perform. They can't be tired from a heavy squat session. So what happens to these athletes in the AFL is they theoretically get less fit and less conditioned as the season goes on because they're not training as hard in the gym or doing any like conditioning work because they're trying to save themselves for game day. They might be doing some skills work and those types of things. So once they get toward the end of their season, they're not squatting as much as they were in preseason. They're not benching as much as they were. They weren't doing as hard of a beat test and all these other runs and sprints and stuff like they were doing at the start because they're trying to manage their fatigue, right? So they have sacrificed their training side of things so that they can perform in the game, right? And you need to make a similar decision in your own maybe social club, right? Where if you're let's play, say, playing social league footy, right? And you're trying to do the challenge to build muscle to get better at footy, right? You can't half-ass both because you're going to be tired from training, you're going to be tired from footy training, and then you're just going to be like just trying to cruise between both. You might benefit from taking a bit of the season off from footy, build some muscle, come back, and then kick ass. Or doing the opposite where you go, okay, maybe I'll hang the belt up for the challenge so then I can focus on footy and then come back to the challenge.
Yeah, later. And that's what we want you to do. We want you to think mindfully. We want you to be mindful about your actual goals, not stuff that we tell you you need to do. How does that fit in with what you want to do?
Yep.
That's where you're going to get the most success because if you're in the gym going, oh, they're stopping me from my run, how successful do you think you're going to be there? How engaged with it are you going to be? So you need to find what works for you. It's just that in terms of building muscle, long running isn't going to help. So just in case you were like, oh, I'm going to use it to enhance or more is more and I can burn more calories or anything like that, that's where we can say no.
No.
Stop.
No.
You know, do your steps.
Yeah. Did you know that running and steps expend similar calories?
They actually do.
Yeah. So if you, let's say, ran 10,000 steps or walked 10,000 steps, you'll expend very similar calories between the two. The only difference is a little bit of an epoch effect with running. So after your run, you probably burn a little bit more energy, but then you get into metabolic adaptation.
And also, it makes you hungrier.
Makes you hungrier. I must say.
So yeah. And tired. Unless you've got very good appetite control. And then your exercise suffers after because you are tired. You're going to sit down. You're going to probably do less. So it probably evens itself out.
Oh, really? At the end of the day, it probably does.
At the end of the day. So, yeah, that's my take on that. And feel free to discuss it with me on the forum more. I love it. So.
Next, let's talk about our good friend macros.
Oh, yeah.
I think we love the word macros, and many of us don't really understand macros. So a common question we get now with prep week, we get across all our challenges that we have, and you know, even before the challenge of like, what are the macros? What are the best macros? You know, what's the macro split? You know, there's too many macros, not enough macros, 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 macros. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's go through just a super summary of macros and then advice, right? Okay. So we've got three main macronutrients. We've got proteins, carbs, and fats. Plus or minus alcohol, depending on the definition of macronutrients. Our body needs all three macronutrients for optimal performance, right? So we need proteins to help build some cells. So not only building muscle, which is commonly what it's referred to as, but proteins build you know, your skin, your hair, everything in between. It helps with heart function, digestive system, nerve conduction, all these good things. So we need proteins. They're kind of the building blocks of life. Carbohydrates are really easy to digest, broken down completely. It turns into a glucose molecule, and we like our blood, our body, sorry, likes to have glucose in the blood so that we can perform. Right. If we don't have that, we feel sluggish, we feel tired, we're just horrible people, right? And then our fats. So our fats are really important for hormone production and overall well-being. So we need an element of fat intake, but not too high where it can cause a few problems, especially different types of fats. So we're trying to avoid things like really saturated fats and stuff.
Right? Yes.
So often we get that question of like, oh, well, what macros should I have? Right, and what that person is often referring to, or what my macro should be, is they're often referring to the ratio of macros within our caloric intake.
Mm.
Okay, so we know that a protein is 4 calories, right? We know that a carbohydrate is 4 calories, and then we know that a fat is 9 calories, right? So that's per gram.
Yes.
So 1 gram of protein, 4 calories, 1 gram of carb, 4 calories, and then 1 gram of fat, 9 calories. So we can tell straight away that fats per gram are higher in calories than proteins and carbs. So what a person would be asking, what my macro split would be, is they're trying to determine, okay, should I be having more proteins, more carbs, and more fats, or what should be lower? Now, Nick, I think both of us are on like a little vendetta to kill carbophobia.
Definitely. Right?
Where we have been conditioned by the media and movies and everything between for, to some reason, really hate carbs, right?
They're scary, and scary. They quote unquote make you fat.
Yeah, they're the devil, everything in between.
Yes.
Which is completely untrue. You know, carbs are an important part of a balanced diet, and especially for sports performance, right? Within the challenge, we're ultimately trying to improve our body composition. So body composition is the ratio between our muscle mass and our fat levels, right? So weight loss is easy. Weight loss, you know, you can just go and walk for a while, don't eat, and you'll just lose weight. That will be muscle, bone, body fat, a bit of water, everything in between. You'll just get smaller, right? But ultimately, within the challenge, we're trying to build muscle and burn fat. That's the ultimate goal, right? We're trying to improve our body composition. So in terms of your macros, my advice, and you can find this on the nutrition templates, is first, we want to prioritize protein, right?
Yep.
A good guide is we want a minimum of 1.5 grams of protein per kilo of body weight, right? Minimum. Most of us will benefit from around that 2 grams per kilo of body weight. So if you're 100 kilos like me, I probably want about 200 grams of protein per day. And if you're a 50 kilo woman or something, you would want about 100 grams of protein per day. Okay, that's probably our first priority. If you're having more protein, it's not necessarily bad, but if you're having more than, let's say, 3 or 3.5 grams per kilo of body weight, you'll probably have some negative side effects. So you might be feeling bloatingness, a bit of flatulence, a bit of feeling unwell, or problems with the digestive system. Okay,
yeah, because it does take, it's harder to digest.
Harder to digest. Then we've got our carbohydrate intake and our fat intake, and the ratio that you have between carbs and fats really doesn't matter.
No.
So fats, you know, we do have a minimum fat intake where we want, you know, maybe about like 0.6, 0.7 grams mm-hmm. of fats per kilo of body weight, so we can support our hormone production. And carbs, well, effectively, we don't need carbs, right? As in, like, you know, it can be zero carbs, but you're going to feel horrible.
You are. Having that. So, and your performance will suffer. And the yeah. thing is, like, you might go, I don't care, but no. The thing is, that's how you're going to build the muscle.
Yeah. So there's no minimum for carb intake, but if anything, you want to be having the most amount of carbohydrates that you can, right? That's the ultimate goal, so that we can fuel our training programs. So the main takeaway that I want you to take away is that protein, we're trying to aim for a minimum of 1.5 grams, probably that 2 grams per kilo of body weight, easy number to remember. And then proteins and carbs really don't matter. We just want a nice balanced split.
That's right. So whatever works for you, but yeah, just don't think that you'll omit carbs altogether and necessarily get the result that you want. And no. I know people say that they have, but how was your performance and ultimately how was your body composition and could you survive like that forever?
Mm.
And, you know, all those questions to ask yourself, yep. Very important.
Yeah. Next, we could talk about calories.
Yes.
Because there's often lots of fears around calories, and often many people don't know what calories are, right? Mm. Or they just know of a number and be like, oh, well, I should be having that because I read it somewhere, right?
Mm.
And that could be something like, oh, you know, you're only allowed to have 1,200 calories, something like that.
I don't know where that came from, but it's still around.
It's still around. Or if you see a plan that has 2,000 calories, you're like, oh, it's too much.
Well,
how do you know that? Right? What are you basing that off?
Yeah.
Especially for guys, you know, like sometimes when I'm in like bulking season, I would be having like 3,500, 4,000 calories, right? And for me, like that fuels my muscle mass and fuels my training. And, you know, some people might be like, oh, geez, 4,000 calories, that's so much. It's like, well, no, not really. Like that's what I eat. So don't fear calories. Remember that the starting point of your calories isn't the ending point of your calories, right? Just because the calories prescription on your nutrition template says, I don't know, 1800 calories, that doesn't mean that you're stuck at 1800 calories or it doesn't move or that's the end goal, right? Mm. That's just really a starting point, right? We've kind of just grabbed a whiteboard and we put a dot on it and we're like, all right, that's a starting point for you. From there, it's important that we start collecting information about that calorie intake, right? Because many of us haven't been tracking our calories, aren't aware of our calories, and we often underreport our calorie intake, where definitely. People would be like, oh, I've been having 1,000 calories for the past 6 years.
Yeah.
You're like, well, you probably haven't.
No, right? And, you know, it's statistically something like about underreported by about 40%.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, it's massive.
Huge. It's huge, especially when we consider like the whole, zoom out view, like the weekly view or the monthly view. You know, a couple of few binge sessions here and there can increase our overall daily average. That's to a right. point where you're like, well,
even if you think you'll have, just say you are 1,200 and which is not good, but just say you had that every day, but then on the weekends you had 4,000. Well, there you go. You've evened out actually your weekly average. Caloric average. Yeah. So that's what's happened.
I don't know, 1,500 or something.
Yeah, like exactly.
That. Yeah. So remember that it's not a starting point. No. Collect information, see what standardizing your caloric intake does. Where if you consistently have 1,800 calories every single day, consistently, no binging, you're adhering to a high accountability, you may find that your weight starts dropping and you go, great, happy days.
Mm.
Stick at 1,800 calories.
That's right.
Then
as long as you see changes, you stay there.
Yeah. Then if your goal is weight loss, we want to be losing, you know, a good number to aim for is 0.5 to 1% of our body weight, mm-hmm. right? So let's say for me, 100 kilos, if I'm going through like a cut, I'd want to be losing, you know, between 500 grams and a kilo per week, mm-hmm. right? However, if you're 50 kilos, a good number would be between maybe 250 and 500 grams per week, right? That's kind of the number we want to aim in. If you're not losing that much and you're trying to go through a cut in the challenge, then you might want to either decrease your energy intake or increase your energy expenditure through your step count, right? Because there's two numbers. It's like a scale, mm-hmm. right? We can either decrease our food or increase our energy output. And sometimes, you know, decreasing our food just isn't possible. If you're already down to 1,500, 1,400 calories, you're starving yourself, you're feeling horrible, mentally you can't continue dieting, okay, well, we need to increase our energy expenditure, right?
That's right. Keep the food and just walk it out.
Yeah.
However, don't do them both at the same time for no reason.
No. I think the best advice would be to follow the meal plan for the first 4 weeks.
Exactly.
Right?
No matter what.
No matter what. Just simply follow the meal plan, standardize your meals, focus on training. Just follow the meal plan, focus on training, focus on getting stronger. Right?
Yeah.
Once we hit that week 4 mark, there's a slight caloric drop. That's when we can go, okay, we were having this slight caloric drop. Are we seeing some changes, right?
That's right. Has it worked for you? What's going on? But also, you have to do it so we can find out if it's worked for you. You have to actually commit to it.
Yeah. Then you can then, if you've had that information, you've gathered that information, you've collected those biometrics, you've got your step counts, you've got your weight changes, you go, okay, mm-hmm. me eating 1,800 calories is not losing weight. What can mm-hmm. I do? Okay, then you might choose to decrease your energy intake by 100 calories, mm-hmm. right? Or you might choose to increase your energy intake by 100 calories, depending on what your goal is, right?
Mm.
Or you may choose to increase your step count, going, okay, I've been averaging 4,000 steps every day because I have a sedentary office job, mm-hmm. I struggle to go out for walks. All right, what if you increase your step count to 5,000 steps? Maybe you went for a walk during lunchtime, you did something more. Then we can start seeing changes in our body, mm. right? Look, let's talk finally about the volumes of food.
Mm, okay, let's go.
So I think since the dawn of the challenge, people have been surprised about the total amount of food on the plan.
Yes.
Right? Where they may have come from diets where they were prescribed one carrot and a small tub of yogurt and that was their lunch, right? Yeah. Or for dinner, they're eating, something really small, where they basically starve themselves.
Yes. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
And in the challenge for both Max and Maxine, we have a higher volume of food. And that's by design. We don't want you to feel starved. We don't want you to struggle with the challenge. If anything, we want you to like feel like you're having too much food, right?
Yeah.
So that you can adhere. We're minimizing the risk of a binge eating episode so that you can adhere to the diet.
That's right. And adherence is what's going to get you the results. Simple as that.
Now, in the past, we used to standardize the food options on our nutrition template. Right. So talking about, let's say, fruits and vegetables, we just uniformed it, made it 50 grams for any fruit and vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with that is 50 grams of banana, for example, is about 50 calories, mm-hmm. right? But then 50 calories worth of spinach is like, you know, 250 grams,
that's right?
Or 50 calories of cucumber is like 400 grams, mm-hmm. right? So if you have 50 grams of cucumber, 50 grams of lettuce, and 50 grams of tomato, right, that could equate to maybe 20 calories. But then if you chose to have 50 grams of banana, 50 grams of potato, and 50 grams of corn, that could be 150 calories, yes. right? So you could start seeing 150 calories with 150 grams of food versus 20 calories when 150 grams of food on these high voluminous foods that are high in fiber, going to keep you full for longer, right? So of course there were challengers and who would input all that information into MyFitnessPal and be like, well, the calories don't add up, you know, it's off by 200, 300, 400 calories. Like, what's, have I done something wrong? It's like, well, no, it's because we standardized some of the food items. So this challenge, the May challenge, we have decided to be as accurate as we can with the plans, right? We're giving you the most information about the plans so that you get a good understanding and feel empowered about the food items. So that means that your plan might have some really funky numbers, such as 400 grams of cucumber or 350 grams of
lettuce
or 600 grams of almond milk, right? So there's some weird and wacky numbers out there, but I want you to consider them as the upper limit, right, of the food, right? Because then you can go, okay, well, I can choose to have 600 grams of almond milk or 200 grams of regular milk. Right. Mm-hmm. If you have that choice, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to have half a liter or 200 mils. Right. Mm-hmm. So you might go, okay, well, I'm going to have 3 cups of coffee throughout the day. Maybe I'll have 150 mils of almond milk in the morning for breakfast and then 150 mils for my 3 cups of coffee throughout the day. It's like, great, I can have lots of almond milk. But if you compare that to regular milk, it's like, well, you can use maybe 100 mils for your breakfast. Like, that's efficient for the water there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty dry oats or whatever you're making. And then you have 100 mils of regular cow's milk to spread between the different coffees that you might have throughout the day. And that's similar with vegetables, right? So you can either choose to have maybe 150 grams of potatoes total, or you could have almost a kilo of other fruits and vegetables.
And so, we know that that's like impossible to eat in a day, but it's up to.
So if you're hungry, go ham. You can eat all the lettuce you can.
That's the thing. And like, that's just showing you that's what's available to you, and lets you get to know the different caloric values of food and what they actually mean. So it's good. It's empowering.
Yeah. And, you know, for many of us, we choose simply not to weigh out fruits and vegetables, right? Because they're so low in calories and it's difficult to overeat. Like if I gave you a whole banquet of lettuce and I told you to eat, you could eat to your heart's content and only consume, you know, maybe 50, 100 calories of lettuce, right?
Yeah.
So these foods are really highly satisfying, satiating, and high in fiber, high in water as well. So this is why we kind of tend towards these sorts of foods. So in super summary, we don't expect you to eat the entire serve. We expect you to look at the food itself and start to learn or understand the different servings of foods, where you compare, okay, cucumber to a tomato to a potato to corn, and then the difference that might be with avocado, because it's not all equal. Very similar, but not equal.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, avocado, really, caloric value is very different.
Very different.
Yeah.
If you're starting to be concerned about the total volume of food, just cut it back. That's totally right. Totally fine. We don't expect you to have a kilo and a half of fruits and vegetables in one sitting. But consider that as the upper limit, because then, you know, if you're snacky a little bit later, okay, you've got veggie sticks you can munch on. You have other fruits and vegetables to consume as well.
Yeah.
You could also use like half and quarter servings. So if you wanted a little bit of variety, you could, let's say, half the serving of lettuce and then have half a serving of sweet potato. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're fancy and make sweet potato fries or something similar.
Exactly.
So you can have your fix of fries and then with a little bit of lettuce on the side, and there you go. You've got your fruits and vegetables for the day.
Mm-hmm. Right. You can make lettuce cups with beef mince and still have sweet potato fries.
And sweet potato fries. Yeah, okay. Always sweet potato fries.
Yeah, that's right.
But look, Nick, we've covered lots today.
We have.
In our Prep Week Challenge Weekly Show.
Yep. Very exciting. Very exciting.
But let's wrap up there. Mm-hmm. You know, Prep Week's the start of the May Challenge. And, you know, I'm excited to what our challenges can achieve in May.
Me too.
We're setting up to be a really big and exciting challenge, like always. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, generally excited to see what you can do.
Absolutely. We're ready and you're ready. So let's get it.
Let's get it. We'll catch you next time.
Yeah. See ya.